God's bread comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. In the story called The Fugitive, the Indian writer Tagore describes this scene. A father has just returned from the funeral rites, and his little boy of 7 stands at the window to greet him with his eyes wide open and his mind filled with thoughts that are too difficult for his age. And so the father takes the little boy into his arms, and the boy asks the father, "Where is mother?" "In heaven," answers the father and points to the sky. And the little boy raises his eyes to the sky and long gazes in silence, and his bewildered mind sends abroad into the night the one question: then where is heaven? And no answer came. And the stars in the sky seemed like the burning tears of that ignorant darkness. It appears that the disciples of Jesus also asked him the very same question, because in the 14th chapter of John, Jesus speaks to this very point. "I am going to prepare a place for you, and then I shall come back to take you with me, that where I am, you also may be." But then immediately, Thomas and Philip protest, "We do not know the way. How can we know the way?" In other words, "We do not know what you are talking about." Jesus had been speaking to them constantly about God. He talked to them over and over about how knowing God is the only and one thing needful in this life. He told them how important it was to get rid of any possessions that were standing in the way, preventing them from knowing and loving the Lord. He said that knowing God is like having a treasure hidden in the field. Is like a pearl of great price for which you sell everything to possess it. He also said, "Blessed are those people who are poor in spirit, who really know that they need God in their lives." And then he gently reprimanded Thomas and Philip for asking him where heaven is. And he went on talking about God. Jesus never painted a picture of heaven. He never once gave any kind of detailed description of the dwelling place of his Father. He always simply went on talking about that mystery that we call the mystery of the living God. And then finally, later on, Jesus tells them in the most direct way possible what eternal life really is. He says, "Eternal life is this, to know the only true God." Now, we are like those apostles. The question, where is heaven? Where is hell? As the years go on, can become a real problem for some people. Or what is heaven like? What is hell like? What should we think about those two mysterious concepts? We wonder and we speculate, and sometimes people even argue about those questions. It's like a man on vacation who was driving through a small community. And he passed a little white church, and notice the title, Out on the Lawn, giving next Sunday's sermon, entitled, There Is No Hell. Then, across the street, one block down, the minister of the little Baptist church posted his sermon titled, The Hell There Isn't. Now we make a real but a very natural human mistake when we continue thinking, even as adult mature human beings, of heaven and hell as if they were places, some kind of geographical location. We sing about walking all over God's heaven. We sing about when the roll is called up yonder. We sing about when the saints go marching in, about when we all gather at the river on the other shore. And then we ask, but where up yonder? Marching in where? What other shore? Our language is simply inadequate to describe the reality. And we simply use words as human beings as kind of indicators, pointing to certain mysterious truths. The problem is that some people, even as they grow up in years, remain completely locked into concepts they were taught as children about heaven and hell being places. And as a result, this kind of imagery that children learn divert even adult people from the mysterious reality concepts. It's something like a group of American tourists who went to Italy. And they were standing at the very top of Mount Etna at a time when the volcano was active. A woman in the group was so impressed by this spectacle of heat and steams and little bits of molten lava shooting up from the volcano center, she cried out to the rest of the tourists, "My, it's just like hell." And so, hearing this, one of the Italian guides with them said to the other guide, "Mamma mia, these rich American tourists, they have really been everywhere." Heaven and hell as places that American tourists can visit, or heaven and hell as geographical locations. There is only symbolic truth to these concepts. Only symbolic. It is so important for us grown-up people to recognize that Jesus does not ever, anywhere in Scripture, respond in these terms at all. No matter what questions the apostles put to him about their future or what happens to them when they die. Jesus never talks about where we go when we die. Jesus never describes any kind of place that we go to. He simply speaks about the mystery of the living God in our lives. Jesus is saying to them and saying to us that we must think of heaven and hell in terms of our living relationship to the living God now, and not in terms of some kind of geographical relationship later on. The relationship that we have to the living God now simply continues after we die, as it is now. The most important thing in life for us now is to know God, to love, and to experience the living God in our lives. Not as a spirit or God image, aloof, distant, watching us, judging us, because that is false. Rather, the God of Jesus Christ, the Father, is Spirit, living within us, active in our lives, active in all of the events that we go through. Our God is a loving God, a compassionate presence that enters into our sufferings, rejoices in our enjoyment, continually with us, as close to us as we are to ourselves, not distant, not aloof, not elsewhere. That is our living God and our relationship. That is why the kingdom is within us, why heaven begins here upon earth. It is my Father who gives you the real heavenly bread now, because the life of the risen Lord is within you now, because the Father is within you now, because the Spirit is within you now. God's bread comes down from heaven and gives life to the world now. The Spirit of the living God, the Spirit of the risen Christ, is within the world now, within all of us now. This is the most important factor of our lives. This is what gives meaning to our lives, this presence in our midst. What is this world? A dream within a dream. And as we grow older, each step is an awakening. Is the grave the last sleep? No, no. It is the last and the final awakening to the treasure, the pearl of great price, that we have carried within us all our lives.